It is my pleasure to introduce our chapel speaker today. As a theologian, evangelist, philosopher, expositor, and educator author, Dr. Richard holds a Ph.D. in systematic theology from Dallas Theological Seminary and a Ph.D. in philosophy from the University of Delhi. He currently serves as professor of global theological engagement and pastoral ministries here at Dallas Theological Seminary, and is also the founder and president of REACH, Ramesh Richard Evangelism and Church Health. I know we have some REACH guests that are here today. If you are here with REACH, would you please stand that we might recognize you? I know there are some. Yes, there we go. As a global proclamation ministry, REACH's vision is to change the way 1 billion individuals think and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ through evangelizing opinion leaders, media outreach, and strengthening pastoral leaders, primarily in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Ramesh and his wife Bonnie live in Dallas, Texas. They have 3 children as well as 3 grandchildren. And I know that Bonnie is here today, and we also have some special guests as well. Ramesh, can you introduce them again?
My sister and your brother from Syracuse,
New York. And brother from Syracuse, New York.
Welcome, as always. Ramesh, on a personal note, before you come, I would like to thank you, my brother. It has been a pleasure to do a season of life with you, and you have opened my eyes and stretched my heart for the nations. And I thank you for that. I'll never be the same. Thank you for being here today. Would you please join me in welcoming Ramesh Richard?
Greetings, good morning.
New year, still young, new decade, new semester. For those who are returning, welcome back. As you know, welcome back is the slogan of the annual reincarnation convention. And even though I'm originally from India, I don't have much experience in it, at least not in this life. For those who are new, welcome. How many of you here starting your semester, your seminary career? Wow, that's great. You're going to be filled with anxiety and enthusiasm and anticipation and all kinds of emotion this week. It is our conviction as teachers that unless you have learned well, we have not taught well. And we trust that we'll teach truth and love well so you can teach truth and love well. The new student complex lasts exactly for about a day till you finish your syllabus, going through it, and meet other eager new students. I once had a mature student return after some years away, raising 4 kids and losing a husband, and she was so excited to be here on the very first day. And I was doing sort of a theology elective, and I told her in the class there was no required textbooks, that all of our authors, I will mention in class, provide a list, about 3,000 pages of reading, and then I went to the lectern and called out Baker, Barker, Carter, Cook, in alphabetical order, and she was feverishly taking notes. When I noticed that, I said, no, I'm just trying to identify the students here so we can establish a relationship. And then you'll have some eager student classmates who are taking the 5th semester and telling the language professor that he apparently forgot giving a quiz at the early part of the day, and they'll be in trouble with you. And if you think you've done well in a language exam, it's because you'll be assured that you don't know enough to know better. I am grateful for this early January opportunity to share with you a couple of things. As soon as I walked in, Chaplain Jose, you're wearing a necktie. That I was once speaking at a pretty large congregation. The first service, they said I can wear a jacket and tie. The second service, they said I can take off my tie. The third service, I take off my jacket. I'm glad they didn't have four or five services. They're being pretty tough. Yeah. I came back yesterday from Brazil after being there for our DMIN course. Great country. And when they told me the story of a Brazilian sea captain who was asked to take his boat, commissioned to take his boat, through what is called the Falkland Straits during the height of the Falklands War between Great Britain and Argentina. Lots of casualties. And so the sea captain was attempting to figure out a way he won't be shot at from both sides and sunk. Came up with the brilliant idea. He ordered the men on his boat to paint the right side of the boat with the colors of the Argentinian flag and the left side of the boat in the colors of the British flag, on the assumption that you don't shoot at your own colors. Made their way down, and just like they anticipated, it happened. They accomplished what the United Nations could not do. The Argentinians saw their colors and they dropped their guns. The British saw their colors and they sang the original Brexit national anthem, God Save the Queen. In celebration of what they just accomplished, the captain called for a party on the boat and they had a great time. Alcohol laden, fully blasted. And at the end of their journey, the captain was so overwhelmed with what you just accomplished, he said, "Hey, this is too good. Let's turn the boat back around and go up again." This is the problem of loss of focus and its attendant disengagement of mind and heart. The guy had become negligent of what was assigned to him. The commission to take his boat down the straits. Just exactly that can happen to ministry soldiers like us. The disengaged mind will soon be upon us as we face 100 different distractions in an economy filled with selective attention. In the Bermuda Triangle of social messaging, search engines, and Instagram, you constantly try to open new pages, try to figure out the latest updates, and you are selective in your attention, and sustained attention seems impossible. And yet everything that is required of you through your career here will be terrifically sustained by your attention given to the tasks in front of you. Attending the disengagement of mind is also the distraction of the heart. All parts of ministry will constantly, till the end of your life, need both a heart on and a mind in the ministry responsibility that you've been given and assigned. I could have talked about first day of class strategies. I'm really talking about a future day of ministry strategies today. Some of you already in ministry career, some are about to launch, others wondering where God might take you. I want your heart on and in and your mind on and in the ministry responsibilities God gives to you. I'm going to call this personal execution because heart and mind precedes hands and feet in ministry. It's a deep mind and heart thing that you're entering. And God will continue to carry you because he's on the journey with you. The last time I was up here, I spoke about race finish in the completion of the ministry. Today I'm starting a little ahead of that in a pre-completion command which I would like to refer to you from the Lexham English Bible as the best translation of Colossians 4:17, if you have a Bible available. Colossians 4:17. Of course, the LEB was put together by one of our guys, Hall. Harris, are you here, Hall? We mourned with you as well from the loss of Ursula the last couple of months. This is how it reads. Direct your attention to the ministry you've received from the Lord in order that you might complete it. Direct your attention to the ministry you've received from the Lord in order that you may complete it. The list was long. He tells the congregation of the Colossians, in stimulus and support, tell Archippus. There's actually three second-person, very attentive encouragement here. Your ministry is always personal. I believe it was G.K. Chesterton who said he's visited all the parks across England. He's never found a statue erected to a committee. There are also some moods here. An imperative, which is our focus, a declarative and indicative of a statement of a fact, and then a subjunctive so that you may complete it. Personal execution is a discipline that you'll have to develop for the rest of your life. This is not organizational execution that will follow. This is part of your own making and being shaped as a servant who leads. It's internal, a heart in and a mind on the ministry that you receive from the Lord. By execution, I don't mean anything of force. Like the guy who once asked me what he thought about his sermon execution, I said it should remain dead. I'm addressing dimensions of seeing through the project till the end. In fact, seeing through life itself to the end. I'm going to call it Get It Done. You've heard of David Allen's Getting Things Done. That's a cult, which you might enjoy in time management and project management. And then there's Larry the Cable Guy, Get R Done. And I was once introduced as a guy who gets things done. But Get It Done is what I'd like to place on this very brief verse. Look in the middle. It says there's a personal reception before there's personal execution. Direct your attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord. A personal reception. This is not something you're going to manufacture, not something you're going to create. It's something that you receive with a great amount of trepidation, but also blessing. This is an appointment, an honor that you and I have been given in terms of ministry. Ministry received. You don't create it. You don't own it. You will never hold on to it too tightly. My fear, however, is holding on to it too lightly, where you don't pay enough attention, your mind on and your heart in what has been received. That's a personal reception. The get it done piece comes from the subjunctive, in order that you may complete it. This is the only pre-completion command that I notice. There are lots of verses in the theology of finishing. The exact phrase is used, for example, in Acts chapter 20, when the Apostle Paul says to finish the course that's being sent for him. Or when the Lord Jesus in his death cry said, it is what? Finished. Or the Apostle Paul, in the rearview window, looking back at his life, says, I have finished the course. Here, it is in view. The word ministry is simply the word for service or task. We can even call it responsibility. It could be a career-long ministry, like a military career. All he's saying is you can't live the mainstream life like others live it. It is in the Lord, meaning it's a sphere as a spiritual responsibility for the rest of our lives, in order that we may complete it. There's no guarantee that we will, but that is the goal. No, divine recruiters, our Lord Jesus, he doesn't come to us like military recruiters today and promise all kinds of things, so there's early disillusionment or washouts. He's not like the other monotheists who stayed up in heaven and said, hey, you know what, if things are there, we'll just prescribe things for the human race. He took the grit and the grind, the gravel of the human situation and said, I know what it is to walk this. So, in me, in relationship to me, in this fear, be spiritually responsible, but in addition to that, I want you to look at it as a solemn responsibility for the rest of your life, in order that you may complete it. The word complete actually has a quantifiable feel to it of numbers. Numbers that can be counted. And that's important. About 3-4 weeks ago, I was in the land of Vietnam. I waited 7 months for a visa. 2 days prior to getting in there, they gave me an approval to be speaking at the second largest denomination there. Amazing country, dynamic. They've kept a communist system politically, but the dynamic internally is capitalist. This denomination has grown from 230 years ago to 220,000 people with 500 pastoral leaders. A great 2.5-3 days. They count all their members. Counting is good. In a communist system, you need to be able to demonstrate your influence to the government. Oh, by the way, of the 500 pastoral leaders, only 4 had training for pastoral ministry. I usually say 5% is less than 1%. Those kinds of things are important. Later on this year, we get to launch a 10-year human capital campaign to reduce the next 5% of untrained pastors in the world. But this year, the Lord willing, 2020, we finished the last 10 years of a decade that reaches facilitated and connected, united and strengthened pastoral leaders from all over the world. We set about 100,000. About a year ahead of time, the Lord allowed us to meet. It's good to quantify. But there are some things that are not measurable at all. Was it Einstein who said, not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted? There's a qualitative side to this completion. That's the word, the same word, the Apostle Paul, for example, tells Timothy and says, fulfill your ministry. Maximize it. Do it to the best that you can. That's the qualitative side of the ministry. Finish it well. That's why you received it. So there'll be a personal completion at the end of this life. The last 10 days, I know our seminary family has been preoccupied with the Evans family. Dr. Evans and I went through our doctoral programs together here. It was the old Moshe Library. Less than luxury, but very, very dear to us. We sat across the same carrels. We had our bladders working about the same time, so we met at the bathrooms. We'll discuss a bit. Became thicker friends. They were starting Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, and then doctoral program, we got to finish it together. And then we became long-distance friends because he was growing up to great blessing and impact, and the Lord was doing a few things through me as well. But accountability partners for about 20 years in a loose way. When we returned from India, we knew each other's kids growing up. Discussed deep theological stuff. I usually tease him that all my best illustrations he stole and made them popular. He wrote about 100 books. I guess I went to a similar number of countries, two different ministries. But 10 days ago, I went to visit him privately. His wife had just passed away. Her father died at 91, her mother died at 92, and she died at 70. There's always a proclivity saying you've got good genes, as though anything can be presumed. We wept, we talked. Because he had just lost his dad a couple of months ago and his brother a few months prior, and his niece, 38-year-old, died in her sleep. Since I was headed to Brazil on that Monday, we couldn't go to the viewing and the service, so Bonnie and I went on Sunday with some friends. And God gave him great strength because he knew that his source would be, for that moment, the middle of tears and fears. And the master of sports illustrations, he says, my teammate is gone, but I'm still in the game. She has finished it, but I am still in the game. It's a personal completion dimension. Not only personal reception of the ministry in the Lord, which is a spiritual responsibility, but a personal completion of the ministry in the Lord, which is a solemn responsibility till the very, very end of life. See, do it will be the last part of this talk. It's a personal attention to the ministry. Direct your attention. Between complete and finish, we have the growth and health sides of all ministry. Regardless of where God is going to take you, are you going to be in public notoriety or quiet influence, you got to direct your attention to it in order that you might complete it. There'll be a day we finish. But that's not the focus on this of this verse. It's the pre-completion command, how you're going to get to finish. My sister and my siblings are coming together this week because we want to go to my dad's cemetery plot. We've just erected the headstone. And he asked that the following words will be on the headstone. Glory to God, he finished well. But what he really did was he directed his attention to the ministry he had received from the Lord. A linguistic competition in Great Britain was asking people to distinguish between complete and finish. People could not articulate it. Dictionaries could not clarify it. Till a man got up and said, the difference between complete and finish is rather simple. If you marry the right person, you're complete. If you marry the wrong person, you're finished. And if the right person finds you in the arms of the wrong person, you're completely finished. You got a 5-minute standing ovation, and I'm told a trip around the world and a bottle of old Scotch whiskey. In this pre-completion direction of your attention, see to it. Other versions say, attend to it, carry it out. It's a mind and a heart thing. Direct your attention to the ministry that you've received from the Lord. A personal attention is going to take everything you've got for the rest of your life. There have been many times you want to walk away from the floor. Talk to any of these on the left. There are many parts of the ministry that will not fit you. It'll be parts of the ministry which you don't like. One of my friends calls it the bedpan side of ministry. But that's what you've been assigned from the Lord, received from the Lord. Personal attention to it. I would like for you to attend in three ways. First, always in prayerful thought. Ask for ideas from God and opportunities from God and resources from God and activity from Him. I pray that almost daily. Prayerful thought. And then move from prayerful thought to thoughtful decisions. Not everything is an opportunity. Just because there's a need doesn't mean you have an idea. Just because you have an idea doesn't mean it's an opportunity. And an opportunity doesn't mean a mandate. So you've got to make thoughtful decisions. You've got to go further on, not only in prayerful thought and thoughtful decisions. You've got to go to decisive action. You can keep talking and talking without getting it done. The it is the ministry. The done is the completion. But getting it done is direct your attention to it. It's a daily thing in prayerful attention, thoughtful decision making, and then decisively act. Because at the end of it all, God is not going to ask you how much you knew. He's going to ask you how, what did you get done? Tell Archippus. Somehow, Archippus needed some encouragement. We don't know if it was because of old age. Most commentators don't think so, or weakness of health. It could have been. But most think it is a heart and mind issue that Archippus, who is called a fellow soldier later on by the apostle in Philemon chapter verse 2, a fellow soldier, he said, I want you to develop a soldier mentality, a soldier ethos. Even at ease, soldiers keep their eye on their commander. Get it done. It's a huge responsibility, but that in the Lord phrase as the sphere, as the source, but here's the strength. And the Pauline union themes, that little preposition is pregnant with resources to get it done. Archippus, you need encouragement today. Let's get it done. Is also probably a backhanded lending of support that the Apostle Paul gave to Archippus through the Colossians, because Archippus had gone through Colossian heresies. He knew of family confusion in the problem of Onesimus. He knew of political situations and prison situations. But he also knew the supremacy of Christ. So when the Apostle Paul said, I do everything, striving in his energy, he was backhandedly saying, hey, you've got him in you as well. You have a spiritual responsibility and a solemn responsibility and a sacred responsibility to get it done. Last year, I had the privilege of going to Rwanda. It was the 25th anniversary of the genocide. 1 million people killed in 100 days. Every village and town has its own genocidal museum. I had just finished addressing the government leaders and university students and pastoral leaders and pastoral trainers. Then we went to the genocide museum of the largest city, Kigali. They decided last year there wouldn't be humor. Of course, you don't have humor because the only way they knew they were different was the width of the cheekbones. They shared the same language, same culture, same history, same religion. My host graduated from what we call the Dallas GPRO Academy, our GPA here, which we host every year, hopefully in 2020 as well. He was especially morose going through the museum with me because he had lost 20 of his own family. Actually, he had hidden under dead bodies to be prevented from the killings and not be detected as alive. There were 259,000 interred there, unidentifiable, of course, large cement blocks. Another 85,000 had come there in commemoration to be interred again. Nobody identified. At the end of the tour, I asked Bishop Ezron, who's now the head of the Evangelical Alliance, I said, "Ezron, what does this do to you?" And his grand, deep baritone and thick Rwandese accent, he said, "Being alive is a responsibility." You know, I always thought being alive is a luxury. Being alive is a privilege. Being alive is an opportunity. But being alive is a responsibility. I want us to get it done. I don't know what it's going to take, a fist bump or a high five or just an ordinary handshake, but I want you to look at your neighbor in his or her eyes and say, "Oh, let's get it done." Why don't you do that right now? P.S. I know there's a man who serves us who does not like attention. But during this semester, probably his name will be mentioned quite a few times. For about 20 plus years, he's directed his attention to the ministry of the president of Dallas Seminary in order that he may complete it. And he's done a great job. And Dr. Yarbrough, it's going to be said of you as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being harnessed in the responsibility of life and ministry, whether it's a task or a series of tasks or an entire lifetime of a career. We're at varied entry points and exit points, Lord, in life. But regardless of where we are, we ask that you'll give us the resources of the Lord himself in the spiritual and solemn and sacred responsibility of strategically living the rest of our lives to get it done. And Father, as we get into the details of the semester and much comes upon us, I ask for a culture of encouragement which simply tells each other to get it done, to lend our support to one another, so that at the end of life, this pre-completion command to keep on completing the ministry will be because we kept on attending to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the health of the church, and for the very best of many everywhere, I ask these things. Amen.